church discipline probably dates from the age of the apostles.
That would be the Didache. The Didache is a document that was lost for several centuries but was rediscovered in the 1870s. It seems to date from the time of the apostles themselves. The document opens with a contrast between the way of life and the way of death, and it deals with various moral matters. Then there's a section dealing with church disciplines like fasting and baptism and the Eucharist. And there's also a passage dealing with various church officials. And the whole document concludes with a brief treatment of a prophetic nature. The thing that shows us that this document likely comes from the age of the apostles is the church officers section. Or at least that's one of the things that tends to show us this. If you read that section of the document, it talks about the apostles as if they're still traveling around, as if they're still a living reality in the life of the church, and it gives tips on how to tell a true apostle from a false one. The document says, "Let every apostle that comes to you be received as the Lord, but he shall not remain longer than one day, and, if need be, another day also. But if he remains 3 days, he is a false prophet. And when the apostle departs, let him take nothing except enough bread for him to reach his night lodging." So there's a concern here about dealing with apostles who are genuine versus ones who are just trying to mooch off of local congregations. And that's a sign that this was written early on in church history. Another sign is that it also has a section dealing with prophets, which were a notable reality in the early church and the first century, as we know from St. Paul's writings. Another clue that this comes early is that it deals with church officers such as bishops and deacons, but it doesn't talk about presbyters or priests, and so consequently it seems to reflect a very early stage of development in the church's structure. It therefore provides a valuable witness to what Christians in the first century believed. Now, it's not part of the New Testament. It's not something that the church regards as divinely inspired, but it is nevertheless a very valuable document. For example, it deals with the subject of how you baptize people. This is something that has been a source of great controversy among Christians down through the ages, because while the New Testament talks about the need for baptism, it doesn't actually explain how you do it. And so there have been controversies like, do you need to dunk someone in water thoroughly? Do you need to immerse them? Or can you just pour water on their head, perhaps? Well, it'd be very nice if we had something from the early church that told us the answer to that question, but the New Testament doesn't, for the very good reason that the New Testament is written for Christians, and therefore they already knew how baptism was done, and they saw people being baptized all around them as new converts came into the fold. So the New Testament doesn't tell us this, but the Didache does. In the Didache, it says that if you can baptize in living water, by which it means running water, and if you can't, then baptize in standing water, preferably cold water, but if you need to, warm water is okay. If you don't have a pool of such water, then it says pour water on the head 3 times. Now, that doesn't tell us whether if you baptize in the running water or in the standing water, whether you were being dunked, or whether, as in a lot of early Christian art, the new Christian would stand in the water and then have water poured over his head. But it does show that there was a diversity of the modes of baptism, even in the first century. So we don't need to get overly hung up on there being one correct mode of baptism. There have been a variety right from the beginning.